You talking to me? You talking to me? You talking to me? Well, then who the hell else are you talking? You talking to me? Well, I'm the only one here.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Welcome to another episode of your favorite podcast, Cigar Store Idiots. I am Rob, and you back again, back to back. How did we do this? You are?
Brittany.
We have been wanting to do this episode for a while now, and so now we finally got our schedules cleared. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to kill each other.
Yeah.
And let's talk about Gypsy Rose Blanchard.
Oh. Or Gypsy.
That's how our mama says.
Is that how our mama says it?
That's it. This story, it took I guess it just grew legs and ran like crazy this year because, if you've been living under a rock, and don't really watch the news or pay attention to trash TV, you wouldn't know who Gypsy Rose was. But she was, I'll kind of just give a little rundown on her real quick. So when she was born, her mother, had convinced her and everybody around them that she was terminally ill or she was suffering from all kinds of diseases. She had, cancer, and she had to be fed with a feeding tube. None of this stuff was true. And she is basically a poster child for Munchausen by proxy syndrome. Yes. So this really, what this is the adult has to make the child. And I don't even think it's got to be a child. It's just a person.
Yeah.
Manipulates and really drags a person down to where they just feel, sick or helpless or useless. And they feel like that person is the only person that can care for them, yeah. That they can't make it on their own.
Completely codependent.
Yeah. So ended up... Gypsy's mom, whose name was Claudine, and they called her Dee Dee mm-hmm. Blanchard.
Dee Dee Blanchard.
She ended up getting murdered. And they was crazy Facebook post from Gypsy on the page, and come to find out, Gypsy and her internet boyfriend had murdered the mom. And so it started this whole giant investigation. Of course, they had a murder on their hands, two people involved in this murder of this woman. But then they go and they follow the backstory of what Gypsy, the daughter, had lived through and been like in the situations that she grew up in, kind of changed the narrative of her, of how.
Just the whole case.
How they perceived her.
Yeah.
We may have an unpopular determination at the end of this thing, but we're going to start from the beginning and then we're going to work to where we are today. So, and then it looks like that, Gypsy Rose was born on July the 27th of 1991. Her mother was 24 years old. Claudine Dee Dee Blanchard had a fling with a 17 year old man named Ron Blanchard. And he was the father of Gypsy Rose.
Right.
I think he said in the documentary that when he turned 18, he was like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Why did
I get married?
Why did I get married? I don't even love this person. Yeah.
He was just a child.
Sure. And he kind of went his own way. I mean, it's like our daughter just turned 17. Could you imagine her getting married?
No.
At 17.
No. She doesn't. I mean,
can't imagine her getting married at 24. Much less 17. So. Her mother first started asserting that Gypsy had so many different health issues from infancy. They said she couldn't swallow. She told people that she had muscular dystrophy and she needed a walker to get around. And then by the time she turned 7 or 8 years old, she was in like a minor accident with her grandfather and she got a knee abrasion, which is a freaking scratch. After that, Dee Dee had told everybody and convinced them that Gypsy needed to be in a wheelchair.
Yes.
And when I say they put this girl in a wheelchair, she spent, you know, from 8 years up to the time she went to jail in a wheelchair. Yeah. And everybody thought she was, like I said, she had leukemia. She had a rare bone cancer. She was
asthma,
crippled, couldn't walk.
Muscular dystrophy.
Her eyes, she couldn't see. Now, she couldn't swallow.
We will say this. When she was young, she really did have issues with her eyes.
She did.
Something that was caught, you know, early or could have been detrimental.
Right.
So that's one thing that old Dee Dee had in her yeah. favor. You know, she did take care of her with the whole, I don't even know what the eye disease was.
Yeah, it didn't go. It didn't say here
very far, but
it's just kind of going back to like in the documentary, and you have family members talking, and they thought Gypsy was perfectly normal.
Yeah,
like the family members did. Like there was a time she was jumping on a trampoline and she got bounced off, and then Dee Dee had, you know, yelled at the whole family, raised hell at the family, and then got her. She wouldn't let her go around the family anymore.
Hey, she's got to stay in her wheelchair. She can't be jumping.
She can't jump on a trampoline. She's in a wheelchair. Well, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah. Even to the point like where she'd go to grandma's house. You know, what's the first thing you do when you go to your grandparents' house?
Eat snacks.
Yeah, you go to their refrigerator or their pantry or whatever. Like, you eat.
Yeah.
So, of course, Gypsy was like any other kid. Went to her grandparents' house. They'd feed her.
She went there for a while because Dee Dee got arrested for forging bad checks. And it came back on her. She actually went to jail. And she was staying with the grandparents. She ate normal food.
She walked around,
like played like any other normal kid. And then when the mom got out of jail, the mom said that she had a real strict, Dee Dee had a real strict like regimen, mm-hmm. like a very detailed, you know, timeline of what had to be done every single day.
Right.
And of course, they just let her be,
yeah.
because nothing was wrong with her.
Right.
And then when she got out of jail, she moved out from the house into her own house, and they were in Louisiana.
Yeah.
And so, unfortunately, Hurricane Katrina come rolling around and destroyed their home, and they had to move. They were flown by helicopter
yes.
to Aurora. It was a southwestern town in Missouri, but the dad didn't even know. Like for months, they didn't know where they thought they died in New Orleans in the hurricane. And finally,
well, he kept calling.
Yeah,
I don't think Dee Dee made it very easy for him to have communication.
She didn't. She tried to like keep him from having any kind of verbal conversations with her after they moved away. The thing that worked out in her benefit as well was all the medical records supposedly got destroyed during Hurricane Katrina. So she was able to diagnose and write up all this nonsense that was wrong with this child and use that going into Missouri with these new doctors.
Right.
And so still, you know, you and I both, we find it, and I guess the rest of the world does, it's so hard to believe somebody with no education could manipulate so many people in the medical field.
Absolutely.
Like so many people had like an inclination. They kind of had an idea that something wasn't right there, but nobody acted on it.
Right.
Like nobody did anything. Like they just continued to let this girl, to the point to where she was in a wheel. She was wheelchair ridden and she had to be fed through a feeding tube.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
And it showed in the documentary, or I guess the docuseries, the movie thing that they did on Hulu, that she was like, "We're gonna have pizza tonight, Gypsy," and she's like, "Yay, pizza!" Well, that bad boy went in the blender.
Which, if you do research, people with the syndrome, Munchausen by proxy syndrome, they most of them do have a feeding tube.
Isn't it crazy?
It's how they can control everything.
Yep.
Think about it. They depend on you for food.
Yeah.
That's how they get medicine in.
Yep.
I mean, you can do a lot.
And you have no idea what medicines, she had no idea what medicines she was pumping into her.
Right. She could stay drugged. She can control her that way.
When they went to Missouri, During her time there, Gypsy Rose is honored by the Olay Foundation, which advocates for the rights of feeding tube recipients. And in 2007, she was the Child of the Year. And the whole time, Gypsy, she knew that she didn't need a feeding tube, and she also knew that she could walk. 2008, it even got crazier. This is just pieces of it. Habitat for Humanity built them a small home with a wheelchair ramp and a hot tub as part of a larger project on the north side of Springfield, Missouri. And they moved there. They moved there in 2008. And it was just the feel-good story of the year. The single mother with a severely disabled daughter forced to flee Hurricane Katrina's devastation. The local media was there. Everybody pitched in the community to help. The woman who now went by Claudinae, but she changed her name to Claudinae Blanchard.
French.
Yeah.
No, they're from Louisiana.
But we all know her as Dee Dee.
Oh, Dee Dee.
Dee Dee. Many people who met Gypsy Rose, they were charmed by her. She was 4'11". She was nearly toothless, large glasses, and a high childlike voice reinforced the perception that she had all the problems that her mother had claimed she had. Dee Dee regularly shaved Gypsy's head to mimic a hairless appearance of a chemo patient. I mean, shaved this child's head, had her damn teeth pulled out of her mouth.
I know.
Had her teeth removed.
And in the movie, I assume that the movie's pretty close.
But from the documentary to the it's pretty similar.
Pretty similar.
They run parallel.
They told her that she was allergic to sugar. She wasn't allowed to eat sugar.
Yeah,
she's
allergic.
She wasn't allowed to drink soda or eat candy.
But yeah. He showed her sneaking into the kitchen, walking into the kitchen when her mama went to sleep, chugging
2 liters of Coke and eating
cookies.
Cool Whip.
Yeah, it was Cool Whip. Yeah, that's what it was.
Bless her heart.
But there's also an image. This was in the Hulu thing where she was taking a bath in the sink in the kitchen. And
that's the worst
image. With her head shaved. That image. And I was like, man, that's rough. But there's an actual photo of Gypsy inside of a sink
in the sink.
Yeah, yeah, inside the kitchen. I mean, it's it's disturbing. Let's get back on track where she often wore wigs and hats to cover her baldness when they left the house. Dee Dee often took an oxygen tank and a feeding tube with them. Gypsy was fed children's liquid nutrition supplements like Pediasure well into her 20s.
Yes.
Into her 20s. Dee Dee used physical abuse and control on her daughter, always holding her hand in the presence of others. Like they would go to the hospital or they were in front of, news media or even DFACs. When DFACs showed up, she would hold her hand. And she would dope her up with painkillers to make her just loopy, like she couldn't have a conversation. Right. Well, if somebody ever showed up, or like the doctor's office, you can't take her there when she's high. She would squeeze her hand very tight if she was talking too much or if she was saying too much to let her know to shut up. When they were alone, Dee Dee would make her open her hands and beat them with coat hangers. And then make her push herself around in that wheelchair. It's crazy. Again, it's a terrible, it's terrible that this child had lived this way.
It's abuse, constant abuse. She didn't know anything
24/7, that's all she knew.
And she ostracized them from the family. Like, she had no family to keep her accountable.
Like we said, her dad tried to reach out to her multiple times, and she would shut it down. She would she's asleep, or she don't.
We don't really know the true story about the grandparents,
Because there's a whole spin on that too.
Yeah, there's a whole spin saying that grandpa was a little handsy when she was small, and
she was staying there with him. She said that he would touch her, inappropriately.
And if a child doesn't want to be around an adult parent, you need to listen. There's a reason.
That's right. And then the other thing too, they talked about how evil Dee Dee was. Like when she, her ex? Not her ex. Her mother-in-law. Her stepmother.
It was her stepmom.
Her stepmother started getting sick and stayed sick.
She was tending after feeding her.
She was feeding her Roundup.
Roundup.
Poisoning her with damn a weed killer.
She was in the hospital and sick for what, 6 months? Yeah. Is that what they said?
Yeah. She almost killed her off. Hell, maybe she did kill her. Maybe that was a long-term effect that killed her. We'll go to where Gypsy starts trying to get some independence from her mom. It's like Didi seemed to have a forged copy of her birth certificate, changing her birth date to 1995 to bolster the claim that she was still a teenager. Gypsy said later in an interview that for 14 years, she was unsure of her real age. She didn't even know how old she was. She sometimes also claimed that the original birth certificate was destroyed post-Katrina flood, and she kept that copy of Gypsy's true copy with the true birth date. And Gypsy recalls seeing it during one of her hospital visits, becoming confused, and Dee Dee told her that it's a misprint.
Yeah.
You're really this is when you was born. She wanted to keep her like young in the mind, like not yet. So just twisted. Gypsy had attended a science fiction fantasy convention where she met Wolverine in 2001, sometimes in costume, since she could blend in with a diverse and inclusive community with her wheelchair. 2011, she made an escape attempt that ended with her mother finding her in a hotel room with a man she met online. In the Hulu, it was Wolverine.
Well, the guy that was dressed up like Wolverine, he asked her, you know, he asked her if she had social media.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, this girl's lonely. Like, she sees nobody but Dee Dee every day. And she's just dying for some attention, especially male attention. You know, girls want to be pretty.
Yeah.
She was what, 19?
She was 19, yeah.
She was 19.
She was told she was 14.
Thinking she was 14, yeah. And she had this whole persona where she thought Disney princesses were how it was, how life was.
Yeah.
You know, she was looking for Prince Charming, and I think she referred to him as
her Prince Charming,
her knight in shining armor, mm-hmm. her Prince Charming, all these things. And so I think she manipulated her way to get some things to where she could access people on the internet, like a phone and a laptop and things like that. So.
And it's
where it started.
It's so twisted too, because when Dee Dee had found her, she like whipped out the paperwork of the false birth certificate and threatened to tell the police that he was messing with her daughter who was underage, which she was not. She smashed Dee Dee had went home and smashed Gypsy's computer with a hammer and threatened to do the same to her fingers if she ever tried to escape again. And at that point, Dee Dee had handcuffed Gypsy to the headboard of the bed for 2 weeks. 2 weeks handcuffed to a bed. Dee Dee told Gypsy later that she had filed paperwork with the police claiming that she was mentally incompetent, leading her to believe that if she attempted to go to the police, they would never believe her. And again, this is her mom. She's trusted her entire life. She don't understand why she's doing the things she's doing, but she trusts her. Like, right. She still trusts her. And when her mom's like, I'm going to tell everybody you're crazy, and when you try to tell people that I'm crazy, they ain't going to believe you. They're right. Going to believe me.
That's all you know.
Sometime around 2012, Gypsy continued the internet without her mother knowing. Her mom would go to bed, and she'd break it out. And she had a neighbor friend who had told her about a Christian dating site. So she gets on there, and she actually made contact with a gentleman named Nicholas Godijon. He was a guy around her age. He was from Big Bend, Wisconsin. And she had met him on, like I said, the Christian Singles website. Godijon actually had a criminal record for indecent exposure and had a history of mental illness, and sometimes reported to be he had like multiple personalities, and he also was autistic. Yeah. So, and if you watch it, we're going to get there. 2014, Gypsy confided in her 23-year-old neighbor, Aaliyah, it looks like Woodmansey. She was unaware that Gypsy had was close to her, even her age, and she felt like she was her big sister. She and Godijon had discussed eloping, even then they had names of their potential children. Gypsy, who had 5 separate Facebook accounts, and Godijon flirted online. Their exchanges sometimes were using elements of BDSM, which she was since claimed to be more, he was more interested in that than her. And then when Aaliyah had tried to talk her out of it, she thinks Gypsy was too young, possibly taken advantage of by a sexual predator. She considered Gypsy's plans just fantasies, like you were talking about.
Yeah.
This dreamlike state that was never going to take place in reality. And despite Dee Dee's efforts to prevent her from using the internet, she went as far as destroying her cell phone and her laptop. And then Gypsy remained in contact with Aaliyah, who say printouts of their posts until 2014. So this girl, she knew something was up. Like she was suspect on it too. Yeah. Or that would have been another reason she's saving those printout, like printing out their chats and things like that.
I think she, just by meeting them, she thought they were weird.
Yeah.
From the get.
I think everybody kind of had a general consensus that she was weird.
She's a little off.
Yeah. I mean, a little.
Well, yeah.
So, the next year, Gypsy had arranged to pay for Gotijohn to travel to Springfield, where she planned to pretend to meet him for the first time in a movie theater with her mother. They went to go. So, what was it? Enchanted? It was a Cinderella movie?
It was Cinderella.
Cinderella. Okay. So, he did show up, and her play on it was, you show up and open the door for me.
Be a gentleman. Be a gentleman. Like, get to know my mom. Yeah. Talk to me there. Let's act like we meet at the movies.
For the very first time.
The very first time. And you're just everything. You're Prince Charming.
So he shows up and he tries to sit by them and talk to them. He opens the door for him.
Yeah.
And Dee Dee's like looking at him like he's crazy or whatever.
Yeah.
She was right. And they go sit down. They're the only ones in the movie theater.
Right. And he sits right beside him.
Right beside him and starts trying to talk.
Stranger, as far as Dee Dee knows.
She's like, get away from my daughter, freak.
Gypsy and Nick have been talking for 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're like excited to see each other.
Yeah. First time they've seen each other in person.
Yeah.
So they get up and move, and then he follows them over there and like just...
Dee Dee's just like, get away from me. Yeah, you're crazy. Like, we're trying to watch a movie. What are you doing?
And if you think that was crazy, it gets even crazier. So he gets up and leaves. And then Gypsy's like, I got to go to the bathroom. So she rolls herself out in her wheelchair. And Gotijohn's still in the lobby of the theater. And
they meet in the bathroom.
They meet in the bathroom and have sex for the first time. She has sex in her Cinderella dress on the floor of a movie bathroom. So weird.
It was sad.
So weird. Sad. It's so bizarre.
And then, obviously, mom comes looking for her. She comes out, and they just part ways.
Just in time.
Yeah. So, Nick just goes back home. He don't have anywhere else to go. Like, it didn't go as planned.
Yep. But they did. They continued their internet relationship, and they started plotting how they were going to kill Dee Dee. And then Gotijohn had returned to Springfield on June the 10th of 2015, arriving while Gypsy and her mother were away at a doctor's appointment. They had returned home and Dee Dee had gone to sleep. And Gypsy let Gotijohn in, gave him duct tape, gloves, and a knife with the understanding that he was going to murder her mom.
Right.
This whole time.
Go ahead. Don't forget, Nick didn't say that Nick did it. He's got 7 personalities and... He has this personality that said...
he's a vampire.
He's a vampire. His name is Victor.
Yep.
And you have to ask Victor for permission. Like
he'll do it. He'll do it.
You just have to ask him. It's all about...
It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
And then she called him Master.
Yeah.
She called him Master. She hid in the bathroom and covered her ears so she couldn't hear her mother scream. Gotijohn actually stabbed Dee Dee 17 times in the back while she slept. She's a big woman, too. Like, that was, man. This is even more bizarre. After he killed her, he went into the bathroom and cleaned up. And then he and Gypsy went into Gypsy's bedroom and had sex. They stole more than $4,400 in cash that Dee Dee had been keeping in the house. Mostly from child support checks that her dad had been sending. She had no idea her dad was sending money and trying to talk to her.
She thought he didn't love her.
Even when Gypsy turned 18 years old, he called to talk to her. And she said, oh, don't tell her she's 18. You know, she's not going to, she knows that she's about to pass away. She won't live long or won't live long past 18, and I don't want to upset her. Well, hell, she was 21 years old at this point. they fled to a motel outside of Springfield and stayed there a few days with their next move. They were caught on security cameras in several stores. Gypsy said at one point she believed the two had gotten away with their crime. That's just like, the other thing too is they stole like, what, the $4,400 or whatever, some odd dollars. They thought they were going to build a damn, like buy a house with it. That's the mental capacity of both of them. They thought that was enough money to buy a house and like live like forever. Not today. Not in Joe Biden's economy. And the other crazy thing too was they mailed the murder weapon back to Goaded John's home in Wisconsin to avoid being caught with it. And then they took a bus. Several witnesses saw the pair on the way to the Greyhound, noted that Gypsy wore a blonde wig and was walking unassisted. So again, you have to go back and remember, she's in a, anytime people see her, she's in a wheelchair. Like, she is in a wheelchair anytime people see her. She's not like, you know, they were, I remember people would give accounts when they would see her on the news in the courtroom being led away in handcuffs walking. And they're just like, what in the hell just happened? These people, what is going on? I mean, it's just a shock to everybody. Investigation led to what tracked them down to Gypsy and Goaded John is there was a Facebook status post on Dee Dee's account. Dee Dee and I think Gypsy had the same Facebook account. They had a joint Facebook account. Was that right? Seems like they may did. I don't know if this was just her particular account or not. But the neighbors thought that something was wrong. They called and they went. The calls all had went unanswered. Several friends had went to the neighbor's house. They often, you know, knew that the two would leave on medical trips. We didn't even talk about how they scammed Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Yeah.
This kid went to Disneyland as many times as I went to Walmart last month.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a lot of times. But they scammed like Make-A-Wish, and there was other organizations that they would use and get these free trips to go do all this stuff. But the red flag on the medical trips was noticed that Dee Dee's car was still in the driveway and it hadn't moved.
Well, and the content of what was posted on Facebook, it was like, I slaughtered that fat pig. And
yeah.
I murdered that B word. You know, it was horrible things, kind of suggesting that it was Nick that was making these posts.
But Gypsy was posting it from her Facebook page.
It was Gypsy kind of posting it as if it were Nick talking.
So immediately everybody thought that this man has came here and killed this woman and kidnapped this girl in a wheelchair.
Right.
But what baffled the police the most is when they got in the house, of course, you know, Dee Dee's there dead and the wheelchair's there.
Right.
They're like,
Where's
Gypsy? She can't walk. Her wheelchair's here. What the hell's going on? So they start digging into, of course, they find out pretty quick. Nowadays, man, you can't do something on social media illegally. You can't do anything without getting caught. Like it's like your cyber thumbprint. You know, people learn that the hard way. But they find out really quick where she is and who she's with. Yeah. So they go.
Traced it back.
They wake up this kid. I think he's a man now, but they wake up this man. He lives at home with his mom and dad. They go there, and his room is basically in the attic of the house. That's where he lives. So I think when Gypsy gets there and she realizes, this ain't my happily ever after, son. I ain't living in nobody's attic. I had it better with my mama, eating pizza in my belly button. Mm-hmm. But the police get there. They had the SWAT team. Everything's there. The police warrant was issued after they found the body. They actually feared that Gypsy was dead as well. Because she didn't have her wheelchair, she didn't have her medication, and she didn't have her oxygen tanks or feeding tube. And they set up a GoFundMe account to pay for Diddy's funeral expenses and possibly Gypsy's as well, because they thought she was dead as well. Aaliyah, who was among the gathered friends on the Blanchard's lawn, told the police that she knew about Gypsy and her secret boyfriend and showed them printouts, which included his name. Based on the information, police asked Facebook to trace the IP address, and then went right to go to John's home in Big Bend. And they went there. Go to John and Gypsy surrendered and were taken into custody for charges of murder, felony armed criminal and a felony armed criminal action. The news that Gypsy Rose was safe was greeted by relief. And then where she and Go to John were soon extradited and held on $1 million bond. But they announced the news that things are not what they appear to be. That was Greene County Sheriff Jim Arnott. He said, be warned. Things are not always what they appear to be. The media in Springfield soon reported the truth of the Blanchard's lives, that Gypsy Rose had never been sick. She had always been able to walk, but her mother made her pretend otherwise, using physical abuse to control her. Arnott urged the people not to donate money to the family until investigators had learned the extent of the fraud. Gypsy pleaded guilty to second-degree murder and was sentenced to 10 years in prison. Go to John was found guilty of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison with an additional 25 for an armed criminal action. While in prison, she got in. Well, let's not get there yet. Yeah. Let's not get there yet because we got to unravel a lot. So in the beginning, we were listening to these terrible things that the mom did. Okay, right. Terrible. I think I would have more compassion for her if she killed her mom herself.
Yes, I agree.
But I feel like she preyed on Go to John, who is not mentally well.
Right.
Who has some serious issues.
It's the only time I was super disappointed in Gypsy.
And when the shit went down, she immediately said, What do you mean my mother's dead? What do you mean she's dead? My mother? And then she's fake crying in the...
Right.
And then she's like, no, I had no idea that he was going to do this. You know, like just. But again, she's a master manipulator and she's learned it. She's lived in her whole life. She's a
product of what she knows.
Yeah.
So.
But the police knew immediately she was not telling the truth. But she hung him out to dry. She got a plea deal. Yeah. She got that plea deal and left Go to John holding the back. Now, do I think he needs to be out of jail? No, he should be in prison for life for murdering this lady. But I think Gypsy got 10 years. She got 10 years, man.
Well, she served 8.
She didn't even serve the whole 10.
Well, a lot of people have mixed feelings about this. Everybody's like, I think she should stay in prison. Well, and then some people are like, free Gypsy. Yeah. You know, like, glad she's you know, served her 8. Here's just my opinion, okay? And it, you know, everybody's got an opinion. From start to finish, I think this girl was groomed, manipulated, completely abused in so many different ways. And that by the only person she knew she had.
The only person that she trusted and loved.
We all as humans have been kind of let down by people that we love, but never to this extent. Like, you don't know what kind of trauma that does to someone and how much she still for the rest of her life will carry. So with saying that, I do agree that she shouldn't have gotten someone involved that, you know, he had mental issues and we have sympathy to that, you know.
Yeah.
But I think she knew what she was doing.
Agreed.
As far as that, I think she knew what she was doing when she was trying to pin it on him, this and that. And that's the only part that kind of gives... I was just super disappointed that she wasn't honest, but I don't think she knew how to be.
Yeah.
I think this is still a little girl. She is terrified. She doesn't know what's next. She's...
Still lived, right now.
Yes, even now. She's lived in a fantasy her entire life and really got the crap end of most of the... You know, the crap end of the deal. I will say this. I think that she completely needed to be in prison. She needed a controlled environment for her health.
Should get rewired.
Absolutely.
Correctly.
She needed somebody to teach her properly. She needed boundaries. She needed to know what rules were. She needed to be educated. She, in prison, she got educated. She got to graduate. Mm-hmm. She had to learn how to be a lady. She had to learn what her body was supposed to do as a woman,
yeah,
not as a child, because she was told to fight against all of those things that nature was trying to do. So she had to unwire everything she was ever taught. So I think prison was really a safe haven for her, the best place for her. And this is just my opinion. I think that she got a lot of attention and a lot of love from family at that point, and then a lot of bad attention, right, and fake love from fans and people that are gross, people that just, like, you know, just want their own self-gain from whatever, to write a murderer or, you know, someone in prison, whatever your reason is. But which leads me to how I feel about her now. I think when I hear her on interviews now as a grown woman, you can tell she's been in therapy. You can tell she's put the time in. You can tell where she made a lot of mistakes, even in prison, because she's still just a child growing up, like we all do.
Yeah.
Good thing nobody watched me grow up and every little thing I did.
No, me too.
But we had good parents. We didn't have parents that were like master manipulators and sick. Dee Dee Blanchard was mentally ill herself.
She was.
And
what was the one thing that she did to her? She take her menstruation blood and something else.
Oh yeah, when she had a boyfriend, she did some kind of voodoo hex on it with her blood,
and so that she'd never fall in love.
She cursed her. Said,
yeah, took her picture, stuck it in a jar with, like, man, it was weird,
and buried it in the yard. But I'm going to tell you, like, she talked about it on an interview, and words from our parents take root. We give it life. Words in general do, but especially from our parents. So she's a grown woman. Her mother's passed away, and still to this day will be brought to tears thinking that her mother has some sort of hold on her
from beyond the grave,
even in the afterlife.
Yeah.
Like, she'll never be happy. She'll never find love. And it's so very sad.
Because, you know, every time that she probably gets in an argument with the guy that she married, that plays in her head over and over and over.
Yeah. I mean, trauma comes back as a reaction.
Sure does.
So a lot of people have their opinion and think, oh, she needed to serve 10 years. I think it's easy to talk about when it's not you.
Yep.
I'm rooting for her. I hope she gets the help she needs. I hope she continues therapy. I hope this dude that she's married to is, like, real life. I think me and you talked about this. We kind of discussed that he may have been kind of a plant, of like someone put in her life as like, well, we'll pay you this amount of money if you, you know, get involved with Gypsy Rose, write her a letter, see where it goes.
Yeah.
Like,
that specifically, and we're talking about Ryan Anderson. He was a school teacher. They subsequently had met, what was it? Engaged with Ken. Okay. So she was engaged to a guy named Ken first, and she had met through the pen pal program. And then they ended the relationship in July of 2022. And then she moved on to Ryan Anderson and married him with no guests present. She was released on parole December 28th, 2023. Just not too long ago, after serving 8 years of a 10-year sentence. This is what we were talking about. So this guy in the documentary, him and his friend are watching, you know, the news, and Tiger King was big at that time, about the same time Gypsy's story broke or whatever. So his friend's like, let's make a little wager, whatever. You can write the Tiger King and I'm going to write Gypsy Rose, and we'll see if they write back. And so Gypsy wrote back. So he's like, he starts going to visit her, putting money on her books. You know, sure, that's happening. So he's visiting her, and like you said, and let's dig into that. So what we think might be the case was, we knew she's getting out and they've got to put this man in her life. And so he is possibly a plant or a pawn to move in. They've been promised all these things like money, book deal, TV appearances. He's got a brand new Cadillac. He's a school teacher in Louisiana. Got a brand new Cadillac. And they're going on all these book tours. They're going on
red carpet events.
Red carpet events. They're treating her like a celebrity. Yeah, this guy, he sticks out like a turd in a punch bowl. I mean, like it doesn't fit. Other than is he a plant? Because we know the way that the thing ended. The last episode that we watched, it ended. Without a shadow of a doubt, both of us believe that there's going to be like a lifetime series, like Dance Moms or what is another one that just keeps going and going and going. Kate, John plus eight or just, you know, something similar to that. Some of those, but they needed somebody.
I mean, they'll probably endorse their wedding. It'll be like,
they're going to have they'll probably have an elaborate wedding celebration. She already got a brand new giant wedding ring. Brand new giant wedding ring. That's not what he married her with. Yeah. So we both think that he's possibly a plant for a furthered agenda for Lifetime to make a shitload of money off of her series. And of course she's going to get paid, but she's been exploited and used again, this time by a TV network,
right?
You know,
a lot of people are making fun, saying he looks just like her mom.
It's a little weird.
He looks a lot like her. I will say, when I've watched him in interviews, he appears to be nice. He appears to be like the type of man that just wants to be a shelter for her or a safe place. And, you know, it looks like to me that he was like made fun of as a kid and didn't have a lot of girls. And all of a sudden he gets Sweet Gypsy Rose.
Her parents did not. Her dad and stepmom and stepsister. It's like, don't marry this guy. Yeah. You haven't experienced life at all. You've been in prison your entire life, whether it be with Dee Dee or incarcerated in a, you know, a state facility. You have not lived, learned, done anything outside of prison. You get married to this guy right before you're released. You're married to this guy. And now everybody's following you around with a camera. So they try to talk her out of it. They didn't want her to do it. The other odd thing about him that you and I did, we started digging. So let's find out what this guy's about. His Facebook and his Instagram is brand new.
Yeah.
Brand new account. And he's how old?
What? Like in his 30s.
So most people that age have a pretty in-depth, established social media.
This guy's
Facebook and Instagram's brand new. You know, so again, is that really his name?
And the only thing on it is stuff about Gypsy.
That's it.
Kind of like pushing her book and their interviews and
their
wedding.
It's nothing prior to Gypsy.
Right.
It's all, you know, and we tried to go back and find like other accounts. And I mean, is that really his name?
Yeah.
Is that who he is? So we'll find out. I mean, we're going to find out. What's your final take on this thing?
Well, like I said, I gave you my opinion. I really want to see her flourish. I kind of root for the underdog. I want her to end up on top, and this is just all to make her better. And hopefully she's married to a good man, and they'll have children, and she'll just live a good life. But on the flip side, I do know her roots at this point, and I just wonder if we're going to see another killing, another Dateline type ordeal with Gypsy involved.
I mean, unfortunately, I feel the same way about it. I feel like we are gonna watch it all burn, because I feel like she's saying all the right things that she needs to say. I think she's being coached to say and do the things that she does, but what the root of her issues and the root of her life and the root of the things that she's dealt with, I don't think she's truly dealt with them. And I don't know if you can remove those things. Because you can tell in an interview when she talks, she's saying those right things. She's saying what she's supposed to say. Yeah. And then the things she gets supposed to get emotional about, she gets emotional, but she don't shed a tear.
Right.
Like, it's all, like, manipulative. Like, it's, I mean, she She learned from a master manipulator. Sure. Why she at some point she was too.
And it's hard to judge. Like maybe she feels those things and her trauma don't allow it. So yeah. It's just I really skirt the line. Like I want to be for her.
Yeah.
I really do. I really want to be for her. I don't like to glamorize what happened. I feel like she did it. She was intentional when she did it. She had someone do the dirty work, but there's proof that she did it.
Yeah, she set it up.
She had her murdered. So yeah. I don't like that people glamorize it, but she was so done wrong. Like I just feel so bad for her. I feel so bad for little Gypsy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard.
Man.
Hard place to be.
I just hope that it's not the other side of what we think. Again, man, you can't take that much trauma and that much abuse your entire life and come out unscathed. You're still going to have things to deal with. You know, I don't know how to deal with them. You know, I don't know how she deals with them.
Right.
You know, so, but we'll see. I appreciate you getting in here and let's knocking this one out. Let's find something else crazy to talk about and do it again.
All right.
All right. You have a good day and y'all take care. Everybody stay vertical. See ya.